What do you do when your world is dark, your heart is broken, and the one that you loved is gone? How do you show up for Christmas with the kind of hope and joy and excitement expected of this season? I'm sure that many of you and many of us have asked that question as we head towards Christmas without Father Jim. I know that I am. I've been asking that question. And when I asked it, I heard the Lord say, "You don't have to show up for Christmas. Christmas will show up for you." In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah tells us that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. Father Jim was a light for us for 50 years of his ministry, a light at our liturgies, at our baptisms, at our weddings. He was a light in bad marriages. He was a light when we were sick. He was a light when we just needed somebody to talk to, a spiritual father, a loving friend, a prophetic voice. And yet Isaiah is talking about someone who has a greater light, someone who Jim drew his light from, Jesus. Isaiah promises that this light will bring abundant joy and great rejoicing. You may have heard the story of a store owner who was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping with his young son. And he saw another store owner with whom he had been friends with for some time. And the two of them exchanged greetings and spoke with each other about what a financially profitable season it had been for their respective stores. The small boy overheard their fathers talking and that this was the best Christmas ever. And as the store owners parted company, the father and son continued their shopping, but the father noticed that his son had become very quiet. So he inquired as to his son's silence, and his son replied, "Dad, did you just tell Mr. Johnson that this was the best Christmas ever?" His dad replied, "I did, son. The economy is great and people are really spending." "Okay," the son replied, "it's just that I always thought that the first Christmas was the best one." And tonight we celebrate the first Christmas, a love story of how God sent us her baby. This is a story of a man who believed that Christmas was a problem. And so he sat in reflective silence on Christmas Eve before the fireplace, pondering the meaning of Christmas. He said to himself, "There's no point to a God who becomes man," he mused. "Why would the all-powerful God want to share even one of God's precious moments with the likes of mankind? And even if he did, why would he choose to be born in an animal stall?" "No way," the man said. "The whole thing is absurd. I'm sure that if God really wanted to come down to earth, he would have chosen some other way." Suddenly, the man was roused from his reverie by a strange sound outside. He went to the window and he saw a small gaggle of blue geese frantically honking and aimlessly flopping about in the snow. They seemed dazed and confused. Apparently, they had dropped out in exhaustion from the flight formations of a larger flock on its way from the Arctic islands to the warmer climates of the Gulf of Mexico. Moved to compassion, the man tried to shoo the poor geese into his warm garage. But the more he shooed, the more they panicked. "If they only realize," he said, "that I'm only trying to do what's best for them, how can I make them understand my concern for their well-being?" And then this thought came to him. "If for just a minute I could become one of them, an ordinary goose, and communicate with them in their own language, they would know what I'm trying to do." And then suddenly, he remembered Christmas, and a smile came over his face, And suddenly the Christmas story no longer seemed absurd. Suddenly he pictured that ordinary looking infant lying in the manger in the stable in Bethlehem, and he knew the answer to his Christmas problem, that God had become one of us to tell us that God loves us. And friends, that's the story tonight of Mary and Joseph trekking to Bethlehem, very pregnant with Jesus because of a political decree from Caesar Augustus, wanting to do a tax assessment on poor people like this teenage couple for his war chest and territory building. And Mary, with her swollen feet and kicking baby, takes this trip, trusting that God will provide for her, carrying this light of the world in her belly. Last week, I baptized Madeline Murphy, little beautiful, cute, adorable baby. But all babies are adorable. Every time a baby is born, it's God's way of saying to humanity, I am not tired of you. You matter. You are good. I'm coming as a baby because I want to hang out with you. I want to move in with you. I want to journey with you. I want to entrust my care to you, partner with you to change the world as I have dreamed the world to be. I want to feel what you feel, understand what you understand, and be here for you. And God made sure to send angels to take that message of this birth to the shepherds who were at the bottom rung of the social ladder, to magis who were foreigners, outsiders, so that all of humanity would know that their life matters to God. We have the only faith where God comes as a baby, putting God's self in our hands. And as an adult, Jesus invites us to do the same, to put our lives in his hands. You see, because we have a baby tonight that is for everybody. It doesn't matter how much you have or what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what your race or your ethnicity or your culture or religion or sexuality, whether you're popular or unpopular, whether you're homeless or housed. We have a Savior who has written a love story to the world, a light shining in the darkness. This, friends, is the hope of our faith. Jesus, born in Bethlehem in a manger, our Savior. Max Lucado once said, there are many reasons that God saves you. Maybe to bring glory to God's self, to satisfy the demands of God's justice, or demonstrate God's sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons that God saves you is because God is fond of you. God likes hanging around you. God thinks you're the best thing that's come down the pike in a long while. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need, friends, was love and forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior, Jesus, who came to show humanity how good we are and that God is not tired of us. Over 2,000 years ago, God created a love story. You see, Christmas is that love story to humanity. It's not about trees or lights or presents or parades or parties. And I love all of those. But it's about love, God's deep love and God's deep hope for humanity. Although sometimes we forget and we find ourselves thinking about God like we think about Santa Claus, keeping track of all of our mistakes, whether we're naughty or nice. Like the story of a little boy who approached Santa in the department store with a long list of requests. He wanted a bicycle and a sled and then a chemical set. He wanted a cowboy suit and a set of trains, a baseball glove, and some roller skates. And Santa said, well, that's a pretty big list, little boy. He said, I'll have to check in my book to see if you were a good boy. And the little boy said, no, never mind checking. I'll just take the roller skates. Well, tonight, we have something better than roller skates. We have Jesus, the Christ child who comes to remind us that we are worthy, that you are holy, that you are loved. This Christ child has chosen each one of you to carry the DNA, the image, and the imprint of God. So when troubles come and challenges are here, we've been taught sometimes to think that somehow it is retribution for some mistake or bad thing that we have done. But God doesn't influence us through fear. God doesn't want us to be afraid of God. That's why God came in the form of a baby. Who in here is afraid of babies? Nobody. Nobody is afraid of babies. God is not in the retribution business. God is in the redeeming business, the wonderful counseling business, the forgiving business, the loving business. God is in the saving business. So whether your heart is broken tonight or the world seems darker, or you're wondering what you need to do to show up for Christmas, the answer is nothing. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. We don't have to show up for Christmas. With deep love for each one of you, Christmas has shown up for us. And you've heard me say this before, and it still rings true today. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. A Christmas tree, your ornament would be hanging on it. God doesn't just send us flowers on special occasions to remind us of how special we are. But God sends us flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Just recently, God sent us all a night of yellow roses so that we could say goodbye to Father Jim and have him share his love with us. We have a God in the form of a Christ child that we can talk to, that is always ready to listen. A God who has chosen to live in us. A God who could have chosen to live anywhere else in the universe. But God chose your heart and your heart and your heart and your heart. Your heart is where Jesus lives tonight. Your heart is where God has decided to change the world. Merry Christmas, Spiritus Christi.